starting a big second hour with a conversation with the head basketball coach at the University of Buffalo in his fourth season as Bulls head coach. The 2018 MAC Coach of the Year led Buffalo to a school record 27 wins and their third NCAA appearance in 4 years, led Buffalo to a pair of conference tournament titles. They're 7-0, they're number 17 in the AP poll, and they're at home against Lemoyne tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Bulls head coach Nate Oates. Nate, good to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, good to be on. It's been a little bit.
It's been a little bit. Good to have you back, though. Nate, I want to touch base because you're 7-0, and you beat West Virginia earlier this season. You're coming back from a win in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So what's the start of the season been like for you and for your team?
Obviously, it's been great with the top 25. You know, the win at West Virginia kind of propelled us into that top 25. I think, you know, had we not beat Arizona last year, that one win probably wouldn't have done it. So I think coming off the win against Arizona and then beating West Virginia early and then, you know, being 7-0, it's been a pretty good start. We got to keep things rolling here, though. Got a few tough games coming up before Christmas.
Nate Oates joining us. You do have that, Nate. Let me get you to take one look back at last season. You mentioned the win over Arizona. That was a 21-point win over Arizona in the NCAA tournament. Again, I know you're looking forward, but what did that win over one of the bluest of the Blue Bloods mean to you and to your program?
You know, I think it proved to our guys what all their work that they had put in, you know, where it could take them, how good we could be. You know, maybe we beat them in a series, maybe we don't, but in college basketball, it doesn't matter. You gotta be better than them on one night. I think that's the beauty of the tournament. So I think our guys happened. So it's, you know, I think it proves your guys, though, what level that they can get to. And we didn't have any 5-star, 4-star recruits, or even 3-star. We got a bunch of kids with a chip on their shoulder that think they belong. That I think proved to themselves that they may belong with some of those guys at that level.
Nate Oates joining us. You're right. I mean, it goes both ways. And if you're not careful, they could get you. Which is why I think you're so careful to preach the 3 H's: humble, healthy, hungry. What do the 3 H's mean to you? And then how do you go about developing those attitudes within your players?
Did a little homework, Jim. I think it's been a little while since I told somebody those 3 H's. Yeah. People kept asking us all summer, you know, go to the coaches' caravans and all that. Like, what? I kept thinking, you know, you got to stay healthy, so we got to be healthy. And then if we get a little full of ourselves and we're not humble, everything's going to backfire. And then I think you got to be hungry and go after more. You can't just be satisfied with where you got. So, you know, we're on our guys to take care of themselves. You know, let's prevent every injury we possibly can. But then I think the biggest thing is the mindset, just staying super hungry and wanting more than what we've got. You know, it's great to be 17th in the country, but we feel like even with some of these wins, we didn't play nearly as well, and we're not playing anywhere close to where we could be playing. So let's just keep getting better and let's do it with a sense of humility about us where we don't get arrogant. When you start to get arrogant, I think that's when stuff starts to go bad in a hurry on you.
Nate Oates joining us. Yeah, Nate, going back to the second game of the year, you did beat number 13 West Virginia in OT in their place. And that's something. I mean, what happened in the past with that win over Arizona was great, but beating Bob Huggins and his team this year in their place is a great accomplishment, too, especially what Huggins said afterwards. He said that you beat them at their game in their place. What was it like to hear that from a coaching legend like Huggins?
All the 5-star guys either, and they may not have the most talent on the floor, but it's rare that a Bob Huggins team gets out-hustled, out-toughed. And I think we did that to them down there. Now we've got some seniors that are pretty tough kids. You know, Massenburg went in there and dropped 43 on them, which I think that was close to setting some records on how many points scored at West Virginia on a Bob Huggins coach team. So CJ was going to end up going junior college if we didn't get him. So that's a really under-recruited kid that had a chip on his shoulder since he got here. And then we got, you know, a couple of really tough defensive guards in Carruthers and Devontae Jordan that kind of – they're not Javon Carter, but they were a little bit tougher than the West Virginia guards were that night, and they went in there and scrapped out a win for our program.
Buffalo head coach Nate Oates, my guest. Nate, not only are you guys tough and they play the chip on their shoulder, they play remarkably fast. You play at a really high pace, one of the highest in the country, yet you have one of the lowest turnover rates in the country. How do you go about playing at such a high pace yet remain completely in control?
You know what? I think you got to empower your kids a little bit to play. I mean, we encourage them, obviously, to play fast, or we wouldn't be one of the – I think we were like sixth in the country last year. I think somebody tweeted out we're ninth in pace this year currently, so we'll probably be top 10 2 years in a row. But I think, too, you know, you get your spacing right. And we do a lot of individual skills. See, I'm still a high school coach at heart. Like, I was a high school coach in Detroit for 11 years and do a lot of skill development. I had 18 kids go play Division I that played for me, and so there's – a large part of me that, why are you going to spend all this time in the gym working on your game and then make them go be robots once they get out to play the games? It makes no sense. So let's do a ton of player development and skill development, and let's let them go show what you've been working on the whole offseason. I think if you give them that and give them a little confidence, and they obviously got to rein them in when it needs to be reined in. We don't want to, like you said, we don't want to be flying up and down the floor turning the ball over all the time. So far, if you're not turning the ball over, I'm going to give you a lot of freedom on offense. I think the guys really buy into it and get them to play hard on defense when they got that much freedom on offense. It's a fun style of play. It helps with recruiting, and I think it's the way to play, at least for me it is.
I know they appreciate it too. Nate Oates joining us. You know, when you talk about your background and the background you had as a high school coach, it gets me to thinking about your connection to the Hurleys. In fact, Bobby Hurley is going to be on my podcast, Nate, later on today. Legend has it that you and Bobby first got into contact over the phone when he and Danny were at Wagner and you wanted to watch a practice. What do you remember about that phone call?
You know, homework, Jim. That's pretty impressive. But yeah, So me and my assistant, so I had an assistant. He was actually, I played Division III, small D3 school in Wisconsin, Maranatha Baptist. My assistant, Josh Baker, was my point guard. We always used to go to we went out to California, went to Pepperdine for 5 days. We'd either go to a college or an NBA training camp before the high school practices got started just to kind of see what they're doing. So as soon as Danny got hired out of high school, I said to Josh, like, why don't we try to go to Wagner? Like, you know, it's not like the blue blood basketball programs. I think they might have been the worst in the country before he got hired. But my point was, he just came out of high school. I think we can learn a lot from Danny, and let's see if we can do it when Bob Senior's there. You know, got a Hall of Fame coach, that best high school coach in the country. Let's try to go learn a lot. You know, a long weekend. So I call, you look it up. Call Wagner basketball office. Well, there's no secretary, so I get Bob Hurley. So Bobby Hurley, that played at Duke, answers the phone. You know, I had never talked to him, so I try to explain what I'm trying to do. I explain, you know, it always helps if you've got players. So I explained to him, listen, I've got Division I players. You guys may be interested in recruiting. That always helps you as a high school coach get in with a Division I coach. So Bobby actually is smart enough to try to make this thing work. He gives me his cell phone. We go back and forth for a few weeks, and the ironic thing is we never got out there. The weekends we could go, Bob Senior wasn't going to be there those weekends, and it fell through. We didn't make it. We went somewhere else that year. But I had Bob's number. I didn't stay in touch with Bob. And Danny, 2 years later, gets the Rhode Island job, and then they recruit my kid, E.C. Matthews, and then the story kind of goes from there. But, yeah, you're right. That was the first contact I had with Bobby.
That's amazing, and what an amazing family that is. What an amazing basketball family that is. You know, Nate, speaking of family, you and I have talked in the past about family and about your wife, Crystal, who was diagnosed with double-hit lymphoma in 2015. Can I ask you, how is Crystal doing right now?
She's doing great. We just had, like 2 months ago, we had another CAT scan. You know, she gets her checkups at Roswell Park here in Buffalo, the great cancer institutes. We're fortunate that we were in Buffalo with them, but They're 100% clean. This last one she had, they said if it was going to come back, it most likely would have come back by now. So we're never 100% in the clear with this deal, but we're to the point now where you can kind of look forward, assuming it's not going to come back. And not obviously every time you go in, I think that it's yearly now, I think, instead of twice a year. And I have to get that schedule from her, but now you're going to have a little less apprehension when you go on to get your checkups now. I think we're pretty good in the clear. So I appreciate you asking. It's been a long few years here. We've been through that with her, so I think she's in the clear now, though.
Good, Nate. Good. I think a lot of people listening understand exactly what you're talking about. As I always say this, either you know somebody who's had cancer or has it, or you know somebody who knows somebody, and I think most of us have gone through that. So let me finally ask you, I know you mentioned that your daughters are starting sports right now. What's that experience like for you as a coach and a father?
First off, I've got three daughters. I have Lexi's 14, Jocelyn's 9, and Brielle's 6. So the 14-year-old Lexi quit playing basketball on me last year. Like, I guess she'd had enough of playing basketball when her dad was the coach. So I probably, lesson number one, should have just shut up at her basketball games and just been a silent spectator. So maybe she would still be playing. I don't know. But she's into volleyball and soccer. So I know nothing about either of those two sports. So it's real easy. I just show up to the games and clap when they score. And, you know, if I think the ref made a bad call, you know, you're supposed to yell at the refs as parents every once in a while, I think, you know, without being, can't yell at them like a coach yells at them. You just kind of give them that was a trip or, you know, whatever. And that's it. You go home happy. They lose the game. Great job, Lexi. They win the game. Great job, Lexi. You go home. It's a little more chill as a parent. At least for me. Shoot, some of these parents are nuts, though, Jim. Like, I'm sure you've talked about it on your show. Like, I get to see it a little bit more now. I think as a parent, I think I'm a little more chilled because I was a high school coach and got to experience some of the craziness and seeing how ridiculous it looks. So I don't want to quite, when I start to get a little heated, I just step back and don't want to look like an idiot. So we try to have some common sense with some of that stuff, I think.
Nate, you're right. Some of these parents are out of their minds. I mean, they literally are out of their minds. I've got two boys. One is a senior in high school who played baseball up until this year, and he's got a younger brother who still plays club ball and is going to enter high school. Some of these parents are absolutely out of their minds. In fact, Nate, how about before you go, well, what's your advice for parents? I mean, the ones that are so invested, I understand the stakes are high. I understand you might even be looking for a scholarship. There might be money involved. But the parents that are so out of their minds, that are putting so much pressure on their kids, and they don't even know what they're doing it, what is your advice for them?
Yeah, being a high school coach for 11 years, and I was in a program where we, like I said, we had a lot of success and a lot of Division I players, and I've got guys playing professionally now. And people thought that, you know, their kids were going to play. We had, at Romulus, they had 4 NBA players, so everybody thought their kid was the next NBA player. I just think the kids that do the best in life and in basketball in general, their parents are parents. They're not coaches. They let the coaches coach. I literally just had a conversation with a dad of one of my Romulus players within the last month. He called, and it had been, six, seven years since I'd coached his kid. And he called to apologize to me because of the way he had handled himself when I coached his kid. And he said now he understands what I was trying to do, and he should have let me coach his kid the way I wanted to. And if I would have, things would have been better. It took a lot for him to call and apologize. I would tell all the parents, like, one, quit trying to live through your kid. That's stupid. Two is let the coaches coach them. Like, they support them and encourage your kids, but you don't need to. If you're going to go home, I told a parent this once. They said, why do you think the kid did this? They're trying to insinuate that I prompted the kid to act like a, you know, pretty much a jerk. And I said, you want to know the truth? I think he did it because he goes home and listens to you criticize the coaches every night. That's why he did it.
Right.
Like, if you go home and listen to your parents criticize the coaches every night, what do you think the kid's going to do? Going to respect the coach at the end of the day? No, he's going to act like a jerk to the coach. So I quit living your life through your kids and support the coaches. I mean, every once in a while, there's coaches that don't know what they're doing, but there's proper ways to handle that. It's not complaining to your kids about it. That doesn't help anything.
There it is. Nate Oates, head coach of Buffalo. They are number 17 in the AP poll. They're unbeaten. Next challenge tonight, Lemoyne at home. Nate, really good to get caught up. Glad we did it. Let's not wait so long next time. And it's always good to have you on the show, Nate.
Appreciate it, Jim. Always great to be on the show.
That was fun, Nate. Well done. Good job. I love what he said at the very end of that, too. He said the kids that have had the most success, both in basketball and in life, have parents that are parents and not coaches. Let the coaches coach. See, once in a while, you'll find a coach who doesn't know what they're doing. But more often than not, they do. Let them do what they do.